It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
If the Mosaic law can take man to heaven, then Jesus Christ coming into this world is in vain. But the man was not able to fulfill the law, and even though they do exactly what the law says, still they will be not perfected. And so Jesus Christ asked him a question. Would you like to be perfect? Would you like to be perfected? And then he didn't ask yes or no question. Then he said simply, sell all things what you have, give it to the poor, and come after me, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and you can live with me. That was a good deal. If somebody wants to go to heaven, and the Son of God came from heaven, I could give the whole thing and just follow him. But he did not say, just give everybody free. He says, sell. He still said, do business, make profit, give it to the poor, give it to the Lord, and then you come with me. Just think, that man was a billionaire. Do you know how much it will take time to sell everything, slowly by slowly business, everything what he had? Even though if you have a 50 years of garage sale, it will take you a couple of weeks to do it. Within a one day, you cannot sell everything, 50 years item in one day. So he says, go and do business, give it to the poor, give it to the Lord, and then you follow me, you will have the kingdom of God, or you will have eternal life. But the man went sorrowfully. When you say, use the word perfect, people get offended. He says, would you like to be perfect? People say, oh, nobody is perfect. That's the way everybody. Some of the preacher will say, we are not perfect. If the preacher starts saying, I'm not perfect, you are not perfect, nobody is perfect, what does it mean? All commit sin. And that's what it is. Let's commit sin. Let's do sinful activity. Nobody is perfect. What happened when Jesus Christ came into this world? And when you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive all my sins. What happens? All our sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed, and there is no sin in our life, because when God sees through the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, you are righteous, means you are perfect. So we are perfected in Christ. Without Christ, we are sinners. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So God gives us a gift. What gift? Jesus. What Jesus did? Blood. Blood sacrifice makes you whiter than snow and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And so when God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are righteous. That's why we have to tell people, without Christ, you cannot go to heaven. Jewish religion, Hindu religion, Buddhist religion cannot take you to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ boldly said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father. So the Jesus Christ is the mediator, and we can be perfected in Christ. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. God is love. This 1 John chapter 4, verse 16.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
God is love. When you receive Jesus Christ, is a model of love. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then when you receive Jesus Christ, then you also get perfected in love. Jesus Christ is love, and when we receive Jesus Christ, then the love of God comes in our heart. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad, means like an overflowing. Read that Romans chapter 5, verse 5.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit, you find more love. More love for sinners, more love for your healings and miracles, and they concern more for you than any other people, because the love of God is overflowing in their hearts. And so God is love. So once you receive Jesus, we love one another. And then the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says, God is holy. And so most of the Pentecostal churches teach about holiness. Other churches just talk about holiness, but do not live holy life.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Okay, now he says, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The God is saying. Now, where is written? Written in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. We don't have to go there now. And so, we saw God is love, God is holy. And book of Luke chapter 6, verse 36, he says, our God is merciful.
Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful.
Now here he says, our God is merciful, so you be merciful. Then Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, he says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Please read.
Be therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Now this is a command. It's not, if you want to be perfect, that's okay. If you want to be holy, that's okay. If you want to be stay in love, that's okay. If not, we are all sinners and we cannot be perfected. That's not the will of God. God says you have to be perfected. Read St. John chapter 17, verse 23. This is Jesus' prayer. And he wants us to be perfect. John 17, 23.
I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
What is trying to say? They should be made perfected in me. Where? Not when you go to heaven, on earth. So the world can see these people are living a godly life. And then they will know that you were in me, I am in them, and they can be in one in us, so they can be perfected. That's what his prayer was. And so we cannot say, oh, when we go to heaven, we'll be perfect. God sent Jesus Christ so we can be perfected. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28.
For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore.
Jesus Christ, high priest, is perfected.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Now, here the word of God says, the spirit of just man made perfect. That means, if you are not perfected on earth, you cannot be going to heaven and sit with the people who are already perfected. And so, only that can happen once you are stay in the blood of Jesus Christ, live in Christ, then we'll be perfected. And then St. Paul is saying we should have a message to people. Let's go to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He says our job to bring these people for perfection.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Now what he's saying, we preach and warning every man. The preacher has to warn people you're doing something wrong. If they do something wrong and you allow them to do something wrong, you are not going to take them in perfection. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, if you read, God has given 5 ministers in the church. And their job is bring the church to perfection. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew. Time is going. Read from verse 22.
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Now, here also, people will be thinking, how can a camel go to the eye of a needle, and the rich man cannot go to the kingdom of God? This man was rich. He went sorrowfully. The Bible says that the man can gain the whole world and lose his soul. What is the profit? This man didn't know. He would have said, I give everything. Take me to heaven. But Jesus Christ says, you know what? This is what the condition of the rich people is. Because rich people's God is money. And that's why they don't think about God. They think about money. And money is the root of all evil. And many people die. You see people hit the lottery. $300 million they get before they can take a check and go away, get killed. Or some relatives get kill them. Or anything can happen. So the point I'm making, the money is the root of all evil. And so Jesus Christ is saying, the rich man has a problem going to heaven because he doesn't want to suffer for God. But the camel, there were so many gates. One gate was called Needle Gate. When the gates are open until evening, 6 o'clock or something. When the time is passed, then they close the big doors. And in the big door, in the middle of there is a smaller door. And that door was called Needle Hole. Because they didn't want an enemy or some chariots and things like that coming to destroy them. So they close those doors and keep the small door in the middle of some people have in a garage, small door in a garage so they can go come and in. And if they want to open the gate, only to bring the car in. So that's the same idea. They had a small gate. So what they do, they will take all the stuff out of the camel's back and let the camel go in first. So what the camel does, camel puts his two legs first inside the gate and he puts his head and he crawls in, excuses his body and comes in. Jesus Christ is saying how the camel goes from the small hole because he has to suffer a little bit. He gets scratches and things like that, but he makes it. And then they will take the items what camel had on his back. So he said, it is easy for camel to do that because they are trained to do every day. But the rich man cannot go to heaven because they don't want to suffer for God or for Christ. Okay, let's go 25th verse.
When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
So what he's trying to say, how can the rich man will go to heaven? Everybody, rich people will go to hell. He says, no. God can change rich man's heart. God can change poor man's heart. And some people became rich from the poverty. I heard so many people, they came to America with a dime in their pocket. And now they are millionaires. So it can happen. But those some of the religious people, now just think about us. We came here not even dime in a packet. Whatever we had, we gave it to the taxi driver. My wife did the same thing. I did the same thing. In India, in those days, they were not allowing any Indian money to go to America. And so they gave only money for the taxi. And when we gave the taxi money, we didn't have anything in our hands. But thank God, we have everything what the middle class American should have. We have everything what we need. And so, we are not going to go to hell because we have the money or we have the God's blessing. So the Word of God says it is possible for God to change the situation. And so all the rich people are not going to go to hell. It is God's doing. God can change it. Okay, verse 27.
What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life.
Now see, when you pay attention to these three verses, there is a hope for every believer. Peter says, I left everything and followed you. What am I going to get? He said, don't worry. If you gave 1%, means your job, your house, or everything, I don't want to repeat everything, you will get 100-fold in return. Where? In this world. Plus eternal life. Plus you will be judging the children of Israel sitting on the throne and judging them as a kings and priests. I'll give you a couple of verses and we finish. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 5 and 6.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
So now, who are those people reigning with him 1,000 years? Go to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 and 27.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
You saved once and saved forever doesn't work here. He says, first of all, you have to be overcomer. Second thing, you should be keeping your salvation, your blessings, whatever God has, until the end. You cannot finish in the middle and walk away from God and judging the 12 tribes of Israel and sitting on the throne. Won't work. You have to be overcomer. Overcome all the sinful activities what the world's doing and stay in the Lord, and then you can be with the Lord, and God gives you power over all the nations. Verse 27.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father.
Jesus Christ says, this power is given unto me. Go to the book of Psalm chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And that's what he's saying. God has given me this power. I was the one who was going to do the things, but I'm going to give it to you. Please read.
Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now, this is what Jesus is supposed to do. But he says, I'm giving you that power if you overcome, and you will rule with me the same power. And go back to the Matthew chapter 19, verse 30.
But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
What does it mean? Jesus Christ is saying, Peter and all the disciples, I gave you this promise. But this is not only for you 12 people. This kind of authority to every born again believers who are overcomers, and they will be in the millennium kingdom as well as in eternal kingdom. So there can be many, first will be last will be first, and it can happen to many. That means it's not only given to Peter. The word of God says in the book of Ephesians, there were many prophets, many apostles, many teachers. And so there is not 12 alone. Shall we rise? We have a chance to get all the blessings what he gave it to the Peter and any other apostles. Today we are going to study Book of Matthew, chapter 20. Last week we learned in the closing of the chapter, Jesus Christ says, the first will be the last and the last will be the first. It might happen to many. So let's go and read the chapter 20. Matthew, chapter 20, starting from verse 1.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come,
The lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee.
Jesus Christ gave this parable to tell his disciples that whoever serves the Lord from the beginning, or if somebody comes later on to serve the Lord, God is going to look at to each and everyone same way. Each and everyone will have the same benefits because God is not a respecter of person. He loves everyone and he calls everyone and he gives each and everyone chance to serve him. Now in this vineyard example he gave, the people were hired from first hour, the third hour, the sixth hour, then ninth hour and 11th hours. Now 11th hours, the person who was called to work, he is not going to be lazy and not going to waste his time because the time is running out for him, only 1 hour remaining. And so the first hour, the person who was called, he might be taking it easy, doing it in his own time, and not doing like the last hour person was called. Some companies have quota system. Within a day, within 8 hours or 12 hours, certain items you do, and then they will give them the salary. And so just think that somebody was called in the last hour. How hard he will work to make that quota or make that item to please his master that he worked hard. And so even the last hour somebody called, that person will be working hard. Now we are living in these last days and God has called us to serve him. So we should be serving him just like somebody's hired for the last hours. So the people should be working hard that whatever the master has for them, they will receive. That the last hour's person worked, he didn't know what was master was giving. But the first hour the person was hired, he was told that you will get a penny. Now, penny sounds very cheap in today's wages. But in those days, their penny was for the whole day's salary. And with that whole day's salary, they can buy many items with the penny. But the point I'm making, the master did not do any harm to the first hour worker. And when he start giving them their salary, starting from the last person and giving to the first. So the first person might be thinking, if that last hour person got a 1 penny, I might be getting a 11 penny or 12 penny or 10 penny. But when he got 1 penny, he was disappointed. So the master asked him a question. Sir, didn't you agree for 1 penny for the whole day? So I gave you your 1 penny. Why are you jealous? Why are you murmuring if I'm giving the same penny to the person who worked for the last hour? I am generous. I am good. And why are you jealous about these things? So what the master is saying to him, I did not do anything wrong to you. You got your full day's wages. And so you take your money and go thy way. What he's trying to say, if you are not happy what you're doing, then you could go. Nobody's forcing you to work in my vineyard for next day. There are some ministers are working for the Lord, and some of them are on salary. And some people, just like a worldly people, they fight for their salary and pay raise the same way some ministers they do. And sometimes if they don't get the pay and salary, they give up that job and go somewhere else. I saw some man who was working for Pentecostal church for 9 years. He
went to Pentecostal college and studied the word of God and worked for them for 9 years. And when he didn't get the best salary, he gave up his job and started working for Presbyterian Church. Now somebody will say, what's wrong with that if he works for the Presbyterian Church? But if you know the doctrine, the Presbyterian doctrine and Pentecostal doctrine is not the same. Now somebody will say, then what's wrong with the Presbyterian doctrine? The Presbyterian doctrine is they baptize children, babies. Pentecostal people, they don't baptize babies. Then somebody will say, what's wrong with that? You have to study the Word of God. My subject is not today about the water baptism. The Word of God is saying, whoever takes the baptism, they have to believe in Jesus Christ, they have to confess their sins, and they have to turn from their sins and follow Christ. And they should be followers of Christ. Babies do not do that. Jesus Christ says, let the babies, let the children come to me, because the kingdom of God is belong to them. Jesus never baptized baby, he just blessed them. And the disciples never baptized baby, they blessed them. So the point I'm making, this man gave up his Pentecostal church job and got a job in Presbyterian Church. And he was happy. Nobody told him he is doing wrong. He had 5 servants, big bungalow, 2 cars, children are studying in a private English school. And so he was thinking he's doing very well. When he heard about me, he came to my church, but I was on tour. So he left his address, and so I went to see him. When I asked him a question, are you born again? He said, yes. Do you believe in immersion baptism? He said, yes. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and evidence of speaking in tongue? He said, yes. And he said he does prophesy and he does healing ministry and many things. Then I said, God has given you all of these things. Are you teaching these things in your church? He said, if I start teaching this in my church, they will kick me out. So I said to him, the word of God says, much is given, much is required. So you should be teaching what you know. But he said, these people giving me more money, and Pentecostal people give me less money. I said, the word of God says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is the one who supplies our need. Do not trust any man. Do not trust any king. In short, what I was trying to tell him, you should be starting some Pentecostal church. Now, name Pentecostal maybe sounding bad to somebody who is listening. But indirectly, what I was trying to say, teach the right teaching. And I prayed and I cried to God that he should open his eyes and this man should teach the right thing. And I heard within a few days or few months, he resigned and he went and start his church in Ireland with the 25 people. There are some people working in the vineyard, working for the Lord, but they are working for the salary.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.